At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
And welcome to the Author Brand Show. You're going to want to take notes, especially today. I've got a great guest on today. He's the CEO of a company called Franbridge Consulting. It's a top 1% or 0.1% franchise consultant. He's a best-selling author of Non-Food Franchising. He draws experience as a former Inc. 500 franchise president, multi-brand franchisee, helping his clients select their franchise investments. He's also contributed to publications you've heard about, like Forbes, Bloomberg, etc. So welcome to the show today, John Ostenson. John, how are you today?
Doug, doing great. Thanks for having me and looking forward to a great conversation.
You bet. Okay, so I always like to start the show with something that's going to make them stick around for 20 minutes. So you got something controversial you want to offer us? Go ahead, let's hear it.
Yeah, you know, so many out there today, they're looking to get into business ownership, feel that buying an existing business is the safer way to go. Right. My humble belief, based on what I've seen, is that franchising is a better path and a safer path for those entrepreneurs.
Oh, franchise versus existing business. Well, forget startups, because those are a little tougher. Between our existing business with revenue coming in versus a franchise, we're going to cover that in a minute. Before we do, I want to hear a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this. Sounds like you've been both in the franchisee and franchisor stuff space. So where'd you get started?
I haven't. Even before that, I spent many years in the corporate world, like so many of your listeners, and had that desire to do something a little more entrepreneurial. Didn't know how to connect the dots, what that looked like, and kind of stumbled into franchising. And so, no, my entry into franchising was with Shelf Genie. It was an Inc. 500 company, really rapid growth. And I had the opportunity to step in as president and support our franchise owners all across North America. And for me, that was that light bulb moment where, you know, the light bulb went off and I said, there's this something really special here. I see all these different backgrounds getting involved in business ownership. We're providing them the tools and the systems to be able to do it. And so fast forward, I ended up partnering with a founder. We've spun off. We've invested in franchises ourselves. I'm a multi-brand franchisee, so I'm on that side of the table as well. Okay. And I've got good people running my businesses and allows me to spend most of my time investing in entrepreneurs and all across the country and investors, helping them understand the world of franchising and partner up with the right opportunities.
All right. It was called Shelf Genie.
Shelf Genie.
You make shelves? Like closets?
Yeah, custom pull-out shelving for your kitchens and pantries.
Nice. Exactly. Okay. I didn't know that was a franchise. That's how limited my understanding is in the world. Okay. Well, it certainly isn't a food franchise. I get that part. Although it can store food. So you got, a little bit of alignment there. So you still own some of those? That's the first business, right? Okay, nice.
Yeah.
And how'd you go
primarily here in?
Go ahead.
Primarily here in Atlanta, but then I've got a franchise up in Minneapolis. I've got one down in South Florida as well.
Okay. So what caused you to go from owning and running these franchises to being in the consulting angle of it?
Yeah. No. You put good people in place. Give them the right incentives and tell them to go make us proud. And, I've had a lot of success with that. I mean, nothing's easy. Yeah. I mean, it takes work, in the early going, but that's right. The beauty of a franchise system is that you've got someone on the sideline that's, providing that support and can really overlook your manager's shoulders and, allows you to go do other things. And so for me, I absolutely love helping others find what I found. And so, it's entirely free to work with us. We support entrepreneurs and investors all across the country and help them plug into the right opportunities in their markets.
Yeah, but what was it you personally? Why did you want to help more people do that versus just open up more of your own franchises?
I realized something about myself, what I'm good at and what I enjoy doing the older, finally, after all these years. And that is that I would rather work with clients than with a bunch of employees. And I've been there and I've done that. And so for me right now, I spend most of my time helping clients rather than spending my time with employees. I have others that do that. And so this was a great avenue because I love educating.
Nice.
I love seeing those light bulbs come on. And there's just so many folks at my stage of life. I'm in my early to mid 40s.
Yeah.
And, I'd say within that mid 30s to mid 50s, everybody wants to be a business owner, but they don't know how to get there, what that looks like. That's where I'm able to come in and really change lives.
Yeah. We're going to cover the existing business versus startup question in a moment. Before we do, I'm really curious about your book for a second, because obviously we do books at our company. You know, hold the thing up again. Show us the book you've got.
Yeah.
non-food franchising. Ah, so any of you foodies out there, just switch this off. This isn't going to apply to you. Why? What's wrong with getting a McDonald's or Burger King other than the price tag?
Hey, you can do very well in the food sector, but my humble belief is there are easier ways to make money. And so we need the food guys. We support them. We love them. But for most of my clients, along with myself, you know, when you look at the fact that you can get food just takes more CapEx. It takes more employees oftentimes, longer operating hours. You know, you're also susceptible to the whims of consumers changing. Think of frozen yogurt as an example. And so I just think there are safer, less risky, higher margin opportunities in a lot of other industries.
My gosh, that's a great reminder. I think I was 28, 29. I looked at a TCBY franchise at the time. The frozen yogurt thing was all the rage back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then still there, but not, probably went down a little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you focus, you'll obviously help somebody with a food franchise, but would you steer them towards something unique or?
Yeah, most of my clients come to me because I focus in non-food. And so we definitely specialize. And so what we focus in, it's areas like home and property services, everything from insulation to gutters to dumpsters, kind of the non-sexy industries that are needs-based. You know, we do a lot of work in health and wellness, and that's a broad umbrella category, of course. Yeah. And then it's in things that are somewhat recession resilient. You know, people will always spend on their kids, their pets, their aging parents. So categories like that are where we see a lot of momentum and where we specialize.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I looked at some of the, cause I had the privilege of helping my parents transition from regular living to assisted living. And I had to interview a bunch of people to help us out. And I looked into that, personally too, that would be a growing segment, as we all know. So that's an interesting one. Yeah. Huh? Okay, so non-food, I get the difference on the obviously, health concerns, employees and whatnot. What are some of the key things you look for though in a non-food franchise? I'm sure it's tailored to the individual's personality, but there's probably some core things that you look for. What are some of those important things people should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, we represent over 600 different franchise brands, but at any given time, there's probably 50 or 60 that I feel are the best of the best. And the things I'm looking for, looking through the lens of having been a franchisor and multi-brand franchisee myself, I'm looking at, obviously, the financial model has to check the boxes.
Right.
I'm looking at what are the competitive advantages of the business. I'm looking at what are current owners in their franchise system saying about their experience so far. It's great to get these different data points. And then finally, I'd say one of the more important things to me is that leadership team. This is essentially going to be your business partner, the leadership of the franchisor. And I want to see both good industry experience, but also solid franchise experience represented on that team. People that have been there, done that, supported successful franchisees. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the important characteristics I look at.
Okay. So let's cover those one at a time real briefly. First one you mentioned was financial. Of course, that's the first thing you look at. Are you looking at obviously the downstroke plus the franchise, fees operationally? What kind of red flags do you see when people tell people to stay away from those? What would be a bad thing to look at?
Yeah, I think we all on investment, oftentimes our clients are getting into things that are between $150,000 and $300,000. That's where a lot of opportunities fall, franchise fees, startup costs, working capital. So, I want to see that if they're investing that type of money, that they're getting that a yield and that there are enough data points out there, from other franchisees, from the corporate locations. The great thing versus a startup is you get to go in eyes wide open. You have these different data points like the FDD of the franchisor. They have what's called the item 19. It's financial representation. So you're not just swagging it on the back of a napkin, but you actually do have good data points. Within the franchise world, every franchise system has an FDD, a franchise disclosure document. They refile it every year. So if there were any closures that past year, if there were any lawsuits, let's say, which is pretty rare, but at least going in. And so the goal is to get them as much information. And so I'd say, the strongest likelihood of future success is looking at past success of others in comparable markets with comparable backgrounds. And so that's kind of how I think about it.
Do you look at the age of the company? Is there a minimum threshold you should do with? It's hard. Someone's got to be first, but how do you find a company that's got, stability?
Yeah, we do work with a lot of emerging brands. I mean, the fact is a lot of household names are already sold out in markets. We're looking at what are the new things. And, you know, sometimes it's newer industries like men's health, you know, testosterone replacement. That's a big one right now.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes it's, you know, a different take on like the senior care space that you alluded to.
Yeah.
I've got one right now that I placed 13 clients in last year, and it's a better mousetrap in the senior care world. But what I look for there in that case, looking at a franchise is a very new company. But that franchisor has 30 years of experience in that industry. He surrounded himself on that leadership team with others that have great franchise experience to complement his industry experience. And then the model and the financials just make sense. And so I see very low downside because you've got this proven track record of the leadership team. So that's probably my biggest risk mitigator. But we do work with a lot of newer brands.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to see that there's something different about them versus the competition.
Right. That brings us to the second point, the competitive analysis in the industry. Obviously, you're right. Food is highly competitive and location is so important with those versus a service one, which you could, you know, work almost anywhere. Right. So.
And I would say, think about the insulation industry. That's a $50 billion a year industry here in the U.S. Most people I talk to can't name an insulation brand. So brand matters more in food and hotels and things like that. But sometimes in an industry like insulation, it's all about the proposition, the lead generation, the marketing, the actual product, the fulfillment. It's all these other components.
Yeah. I recently got the gutters on my leaf filter, you know, whichever one it was, I forget the name now, but I could tell that it was a franchise operation because it was just, the process was just streamlined and professional and slick and the lifetime guarantee. I'm like, it was really well done. And I think it's one of the key things I want to talk about in terms of somebody who may want to franchise a business that they have. And obviously SOPs and structure is important. If somebody's got a company, let's say if somebody's got a window replacement company and they're thinking of doing a franchise model, what types of things would you want them to come to the table with to be able to franchise their business?
Yeah, it can be a very attractive way to scale your business. Certainly private equity loves franchising. So, you know, as you think about an exit down the road, you know, it's a good way to grow quickly using other people's money, you know, who have skin in the game, right, in all their local markets. You know, the flip side is you want to go in and make sure that you go in eyes wide open, that you're willing to put together that support team to support these new owners. They're making a big commitment to you and buying into your franchise. And that's, you know, otherwise you'll have kids all across the country with giving you a headache every day if you don't support them well. So I think just going in eyes wide open, obviously you've got to have a financial model that's attractive that other people say, hey, we want to buy into that business because of your financial model. You know, if you have any competitive advantages, whether it be on the supply chain side, whether it be on, you know, you've kind of figured out a better widget or a niche in the market, you know, you've got to be able to say, here's how we're going to compete in a new market versus the existing competition. You know, so I'd say the support system is the biggest thing, the differentiators, and then an attractive financial model.
Sure. What about in the, you know, I just think about franchising in general. I always think, you know, obviously food and the, and some of the service businesses you've mentioned. Is there franchise opportunities in the, like the B2B marketplace for businesses?
There are. I'd say probably fewer in total, but there are a lot of businesses, you know, I mentioned insulation. You know, that's one that could be B2C and B2B. You know, some of the business coach ones, there's some consulting related ones. There's some business coaching ones. The one I'm invested in Minneapolis, it's a concrete paving and line striping business for parking lots. Well, that's a B2B business end of the day.
Right.
And so it can take different, you know, different forms. But yeah, there are a lot of businesses. Think about like kind of along the same lines, water mitigation, mold remediation, that could be for B2B or B2C, right? And oftentimes that may be more B2B because you're working with insurance companies.
Okay. So other than your own, the Shelkini one, do you have like any other favorites that you like for yourself personally or for most people?
Yeah, I've got one right now that I've had a bunch of clients buying into, myself included. This is my franchise down in South Florida. It's a custom orthotics. So think insoles, footwear, custom orthotics and insoles. We cater to all different facets of the population, but we kind of have a sweet spot in that older niche, you know, that may be diabetic or have different health ailments. So we use 3D printing to create these, you know, custom insoles. And it's a great model where the franchisor can actually run the business for you. There are very few companies that offer this investor model. but this is one of them. And I've got a great relationship with the franchisor. I helped him create this model. Uh-huh. They said, hey, we're already running corporate locations. How about we run a few more, but do it with the franchisee investor funded? So it's a great win-win-win.
So the franchisee doesn't have to get a 3D printer. They just do the marketing and then the company prints the insoles and stuff for them?
Yeah, the franchisor does everything. I've been down to my South Florida location once in the past year.
Okay.
And that's because I wanted to. I didn't need to be there. So I can I look online every day and see the
marketing and sales, right?
No, the franchisor is doing it, everything for me.
All right. So I'm curious
completely about turnkey. Very rare. So there are 4,000 franchise brands in the US. Roughly half of those are in food and hotels that I don't focus in. Others are in growth mode or they're not in growth mode. But out of those remain, let's say 2,000, there's only about four or five that offer this investor model where the franchisor will actually run the business for you. So,
so yeah, really this has been they're investing in the company, but it's still it's a franchise investment. It's not a stock.
I own it 100%. I'm the franchisee. I've got a managed services agreement with that franchisor where they staff it and they run the business for me.
Okay, I'll take one. Sounds great. Talk about show. And what about Cluckers? Have you seen anything that you like? You saw it, and you're like, oh my God, this is a really bad idea, and it went away after a while, or what? I saw one.
Yeah, there are industries that I'm not as big a fan of, you know, outside of food, even. I think home cleaning, that's just, I mean, it's hard to differentiate. And there are a dime a dozen out there. I think, you know, there are some industries that are saturated. There are pockets of fitness that I'm not a big fan of right now because I think there's some saturation in the market. You know, it comes down to the leadership team. If you have a strong leadership team, there are smart people that bought into this model themselves, you know, or started it. You know, there have only been a few cases, but I've had a couple of clients that have not been happy with their franchisor. Most of them love the franchisor, but in those cases, it was usually a weakness on the franchisor that somehow they masked early on and usually were able to sniff it out. But there were a couple of slip through.
Yeah, I misspoke. It wasn't a franchise. It was an MLM concept that I saw years ago for mortgages. And I'm like, where's the residual here? I'm going to do a mortgage every 5 years, maybe. It was like, this is horrible. Give me some vitamins or some soap or something. That's much more appropriate for the social networking MLM model. All right. So, yeah. So there's obviously Cluckers out there. I love the investor one. That sounds really cool. If somebody really wanted a food franchise, is it because of the name thing? Or why would someone select, you know, a high-priced old dog like McDonald's or Burger King or something?
Oh, gosh. If you own a handful of those, you're doing very well. If it's one that has that recognition where you're in a good market. Right. I mean, the thing is, there are very few locations McDonald's isn't in yet that they would want to, you'd want to be in, right? So, no, I think that, you know, you hear guys owning 50 Jimmy John's or a friend of mine owns 100 Sonic drive-thrus.
Yeah.
You can do very, very well in food. I do think it's much more dependent on the brand, and I'd hate to put down $1.5 million on something that's a new brand in that space. Whereas I feel a lot more comfortable putting down $150,000 on a new brand in the $50 billion insulation market, just as an example.
Yeah. One of my friends has 67 Arby's, and he had it all queued up for a sale, and they botched it, and he had to take it back and go into some debt again to fix it. But now he's like, okay, now I got it set up. It's running much better. And he'll be exiting that, I think, in a few years. And yeah, he's totally set for life on that one. And his grandkids too, of course. It's a pretty big deal with a food franchise. What would you tell somebody who's just looking into it in terms of doing the due diligence and narrowing the field for them? How could you advise someone who's just beginning, saying, listen, I think I want to diversify my portfolio, my time. What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, no, and half of our clients are looking to jump in as an owner-operator, half are looking to do what you said, where it's semi-passive, you put a manager in place, run it on the side. It still takes work. You know, I won't sugarcoat it, but it is very doable. I'd say as a first step, I mean, read our book. It's 95 pages. I packed a ton of content in. We've gotten great feedback at just how it filled in some gaps in understanding and how it got the juices flowing. Had a client reach out to me yesterday and said, hey, I finished your book over the weekend. Man, you got the juices flowing. Let's get on a call this week. You know, we get that kind of feedback fairly often. So I'd say that's a really good starting point. Certainly consume other content that I put out there on LinkedIn or through podcast. Happy to get on a call and help any of your listeners as soon as they're ready to take next steps.
Well, let's find out where we can get that book then. What's the best way to get your book?
Yeah, come out to our website, franbridgeconsulting.com, franbridgeconsulting.com, and just leave your email address and name, and we will reach out to you with downloadable links, whether it be Audible, whether it be PDF for the book. Certainly, if you would prefer to buy it on Amazon, it's everywhere out there, and all the profits go to a great charity that we support. So do know it's going to a good cost.
What's your charity?
Yeah, it's Hope International. It's really that hand up versus handout approach to budding entrepreneurs around the world. And we've just seen, my son and I went on a mission trip to the Dominican with them a couple of years ago, and just have really been a big supporter of their organization.
That's great. Well, I'm glad it was not like Haiti next week, because that would be rough down there right now. But okay, Dominican.
Yeah, that's very, very sad what's going on. I've actually been to Haiti. It is very heartbreaking what's going
on. Yeah, it's a little tough for that. Well, wow, that's great. So go below here in the show notes, folks. It's right there, franbridgeconsulting.com. Do that and get this book. It sounds like I'm going to get one. I'm really curious about this stuff. So thank you, John. Appreciate your time today. Any last words of wisdom for the audience today?
You know, I always say activity breeds activity. You know, if this is something that's on your mind, I think, you know, start moving in that direction, and that's when good things happen. So get off the couch and get active, and that's when things open up.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time today. That concludes our show today. You want to take notes? I'll see you next time. Thank you so much.